All righty, welcome on in. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We are waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, can you hear me? Aaron, make a decision. Let's go. Enough is enough. We went through the darkness retreat with you. You said you weren't going to hold the Packers hostage. It makes all the sense in the world. The legal tampering window has opened at noon Eastern. It's currently 7 o'clock straight up here on the East Coast. And we still have no clue or nothing official, even though I don't even think it would be official then yet until Wednesday. But you get the point. We don't know what you're doing yet. No, I think I know where you're going, but I don't know for sure. And it's very simple. You go back to Green Bay, where the coach and the general manager don't want you. And Mark Murphy doesn't want you as well. You either accept the trade to the Jets or you retire. And I know people could say, oh, maybe the Commanders get involved. Or maybe Tennessee gets involved. I hear you. If that was a week ago, all ears, I'd listen. But Aaron Rodgers met with the Jets already. And not a single other team that we know of, or that we know of, have bid at that opportunity. And said to the Packers, hey, we want to talk to Aaron. You don't want Aaron anymore? We'll talk to him. Now, if a team, I don't know, like the Lions tried to talk to him, that's different. That's in the division. But I would think, even though the preference was to trade into the AFC, that if a team like the Commanders came calling, that the Packers at this point would listen. Or whoever that other team would be, like maybe if Tampa Bay came calling, they would listen. But you also got to have the salary cap space. And that could be an issue as well, even though we all poo-poo the salary cap and think that it's basically just a number that you could find a way to move the numbers around and maneuver around there. So this is either Jets, retire, or you go back to Green Bay, where the GM and the coach, from what all accounts that we could gather, do not want you. And we could sit here, we could wait. We could say, Aaron, what are you going to do? Aaron, make up your mind already. It's past the point of stupidity at this point. Like, we are now at a point where it doesn't make sense for him to wait any longer. And maybe behind the scenes, this is all hush-hush, but I don't see what the benefit would be at this point to keep it all hush-hush. Like, I get you want to divorce the Packers, you want to leave the Packers in the right way, but I don't think that this would end in, like, the wrong way. I'm not saying it's all good. I'm not saying that Rodgers is like BFFs and best pals with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. Like, I totally get that. But at this rate, Hickey, like, I don't see how this ends in a way that is, like, filled with animosity. They just gave him a new deal last year. He's made his point. The Packers prefer not to have him there anymore, like the people that run the Packers. I'm not saying you got to be in love with the idea, but I don't think this ends in a serious point of contention where we're going to look at Aaron Rodgers any differently, we're going to look at the Packers any differently right now. Like, that's the thing that's lost in this. We talked about this for a week, the optics of it. Who's going to break up with who first? At the end of the day, you're breaking up. So I don't get why now we have to move at a molasses pace and kind of a snail's pace here where it's just so slow. And we are now well past noon Eastern time. The legal tampering period has opened in the NFL. And we don't know where Rodgers is going to be playing football. Because if he's back in Green Bay, I think the Packers right now are operating. I know they really haven't made any moves other than like signing a special teamer. But I think they're operating with life without Aaron Rodgers. And I would think the Jets right now are operating, even though you can't fully go there until you get the official thumbs up, they're operating with the belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Like, I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is. If Rodgers is on vacation right now and he basically told the Jets behind the scenes, hey, I'm coming, don't say anything until next week because I want to enjoy my vacation, fine. But the guy just locked himself in a cave for, you know, 2 weeks ago. And he told us he wasn't going to hold us hostage. And that's what he's doing right now. So we could sit here, we could bitch, we could complain about it, we could talk about it for the next 3 hours. Like, Hickey, I'm at a point right now where it's like, you know what the three options are. We tried earlier to find one of the other 30 destinations that we would think would go jump at the opportunity, but they haven't jumped at the opportunity yet. So we need Aaron Rodgers. And maybe he's waiting for a McAfee Tuesday tomorrow. But we need Rodgers just to say, hey, my plan is to return to Green Bay. My plan is to go to the Jets, or against all odds, the plan is to retire. It's one of those three options. There's no more, yeah, but maybe the Dolphins Colt, they pick up Tua Tagovailoa's fifth-year option. Oh, maybe the Raiders will get back involved. They're signing Jimmy G. Maybe the Commanders will get involved. I don't know if the Commanders could do it right now. I know we talked about Lamar Jackson maybe going to the Commanders. They may be selling their football team. I know they just locked up Daron Payne and all that. So who the heck knows what's going on? I don't think it's realistic to envision Aaron Rodgers other than in three situations next year. And I'll say it for the 9,000th time this segment. Retirement, back in Green Bay, or to the Jets. And Hickey, it would be fascinating if he is back in Green Bay. Because you know the GM and Mark Murphy do not want him back. LaFleur, I think, is fine with moving on to Jordan Love and is fine with getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. But it would be awkward if Rodgers is back in Green Bay at this point. Sure, Aaron Jones would be like a fat kid in a candy store. Rasul Douglas, who's been all over social media, would be like a fat kid in a candy store. But that would make for just one bleep show. When he knows he's going back into a building, and it's different when you draft someone and they didn't plan on playing Love the last few years. They have now made it clear that Jordan Love is ready to play. They have made that clear. They have talked about that. Gutekunst has said it. So they are clearly giving off enough signs that they prefer to go to Jordan Love right now and get whatever you get back at Aaron Rodgers. And Hickey, it would be, outside of Lamar getting traded, or maybe even Lamar staying with the Ravens this year, but on the franchise tag, I can't think of a more awkward situation that would happen around the NFL, because this is all played out publicly. Like, once you go let Aaron Rodgers talk to another team, that shows you don't want him anymore. Like, Hickey, if you told your girlfriend, hey, Lolly, it's a Saturday night, give me one of your friends. Yeah, you know, guy friend. Just give me a name here.
Rob.
Rob is interested in taking you out for dinner. You want to go for him? You're basically saying, hey, go out with Rob and basically go date Rob. And that's what the Packers basically said to Aaron Rodgers. We're trying to push you out the door. We don't want to tell you we don't want you anymore, but we're basically going to give you a team that's interested in taking you home. And I don't think you come back from that.
All right, so I think there's no chance he's back in Green Bay, in large part because of what you just said. And Mark Murphy on, I think it was Friday, when he was at the high school women's basketball tournament,
yeah,
basically said, I guess we could see a scenario when he's back if our plans basically don't happen, or if our wishes and hopes don't happen. They don't want him in Green Bay. I'm not even, like, if he says, I want to return, I don't even know if they say yes.
Well, they have no other options. They're locked in on the contract. He would be holding them hostage.
Cut him.
No.
If you are done with Aaron Rodgers.
You can't do that. You'd have to play Aaron Rodgers. You know it and I know it. Now, who is it? Bob McGinn, right?
Bob McGinn, yes.
Who is the reporter originally to Ty Dunn that said something along the lines of, if Rodgers decides to come back, it would be like a competition and expect him to be the backup quarterback. Imagine. Oh, my. That may be the biggest bleep show in NFL history, if Rodgers is back in Green Bay as the backup quarterback.
You know who wants that? Bart Winkler.
Oh.
He wants that
good
bad.
For Bart. I love Bart, but
he is done with AR-12.
If they released him. Wait, now let me ask you a question. If they released him post-June 1, I've never seen this. 2023 cap savings, negative $43 million. It says on SpotRack, the dead cap would be $75 million post-June 1. If that's a release.
Well, okay.
If it's pre.
What is it, like a 130?
23 cap savings, pre-June 1, negative $68 million dead cap, $99.7
million. Okay, so maybe cutting him is not in the cards.
And then watch. this would be horrible, but Jordan Love would get injured the first game of the season, and then you already cut Aaron Rodgers.
Imagine they do, this is not going to happen, imagine they do what the 49ers did last year. Remember when Jimmy G is basically off to the side, and they're like, they're waiting for it to move him?
Jimmy G eventually got his redemption moment.
You bring Aaron Rodgers back, just keep him off to the side, don't even give him a playbook, sorry, we're going to trade you. We are trading, you know, no matter what, hey, and just, they're just waiting for an injury to happen.
Just go become best friends with ayahuasca again
for
a few months.
That would be a storyline and a half to watch.
I do think if you ask Rodgers, though, like if we had Rodgers in studio, And he was giving us truthful responses, I do think his preference is to go back to Green Bay. But he's got to be intelligent enough to realize, and I'm sure he already has, that Green Bay doesn't want him. So unless he has this big plan to make the Packers want him back, you go to the Jets or you retire. And I don't think he's ready to retire. And the Jets aren't a bad destination. You got a heck of a defense there. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Elijah Moore. You got Breece Hall. You got a young up-and-coming team. You can make the playoffs with the Jets. It's not a lock. But you can make the playoffs with the Jets. I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl. So does Rodgers just say, oh, I'm done? F that, I'm out, I'm retired? I highly doubt that.
And now when there's $60 million on the table, but again, what are we doing sitting here? What is the wait for? What is there?
Like,
what else is there to deliberate? What else is there to think about or decide? You know, you heard the Jets pitch. Let's go.
Because he's Rodgers. 2 + 2 = what? 4?
4.
He likes to make 2 + 2 = 5, and just he'll give you the end result, but he'll just try to give you some crazy theory before that. Like, that's what happens here with Rodgers.
I also get it's Aaron Rodgers. So, again, me saying this, like, I get if you're a Jets player, you're going to ignore it as soon as if the news becomes official that he's a Jet. But it's also, it's kind of embarrassing a little bit. As your team is just basically publicly waiting on, you know, this decision. Everyone is tweeting about wanting Aaron Rodgers, and he's almost kind of giving you, in a way, the cold shoulder.
But you got to remember,
it's a little bit of a bad look.
The Jets are a young team. So you're talking about guys like Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, and Garrett Wilson. These are guys that grew up watching Aaron Rodgers play. So them acting like kids in a candy store and them showing their desperation and how excited they are, you said it. It does. The moment they get Rodgers, it doesn't work. The people that look bad here would be Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh, and Joe Douglas, because you could have had Derek Carr. You could have had Jimmy Garoppolo. And you are confident that you're going to wind up with Aaron Rodgers. The only plan B that I think would give approval if you don't get Rodgers would be if you get Lamar Jackson. But if you get Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford, whoever that desperation plan would be, yeah, you would take some of the egg off your face, but you still have egg on your face. This is now you got to go get Aaron Rodgers or you go get Lamar Jackson. Anything other than those two, next year for the Jets, starting this year in 2023, would be an absolute disaster. And that's why I'm still thinking it's going to be Rodgers to the Jets, but whenever you expect the Rodgers news, Rodgers will just wait and wait and wait because he likes to be this oddball kind of guy, and he likes to do things that just really don't make any sense. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to the Raiders. Did they actually improve? We'll get into that coming up at 7:40 p.m. Eastern, 4:40 p.m. Pacific. But we got to take a break. And when we come on back, Danny Parkins is going to join us as we're going to get ready to make the QB carousel, landed and taken a stop in Chicago, where Justin Fields now has a new best friend, and his name is DJ Moore, and some more picks to accompany him with. We'll get into all that on the other side.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Chicago Bears.
You can listen to him on The Score. He does a great job. Afternoon Drive. Danny Parkins joins us right now. Danny, you guys got to be on cloud nine in Chicago. You think you have a franchise quarterback, and your GM and coach are starting to surround him with some actual talent.
Yeah, it's very exciting. But, I mean, man, we need to go to Vegas together. You spun a wheel, and it landed on Chicago, and I just happened to be on the line. What if it landed on Detroit? Was I going to be talking about Jared Goff? This is unbelievable fortune that you have, Gel.
It's amazing. That's why I'm a good blackjack player. And sometimes, as long as the odds are uploaded correctly on our company's website, when it comes to Kentucky Derby, I usually win more than I lose, as so they say.
Our company has a website?
Not very well. Danny Parkins and Zach Gelb are both free agents right now.
No, I've said much more incriminating things than that. The Bears have a quarterback, they think and hope, and they are adding pieces around him. They certainly are. I thought the trade down from 1 to 9 was incredible and inspired for a number of reasons. Like, the Bears need to spend money to get to the spending floor, and the free agent class, where they've got the most cap space in the NFL, is not very good, and it certainly isn't very good at wide receiver. If DJ Moore was in this wide receiver class, he'd be commanding a $100 million contract. Instead, you get him for 3 years and $52 million left on the contract he signed before last year. He's only 25 years old, and so it helps you spend to your floor. It gives Justin Fields a legitimate number one receiver. It bumps down Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool in importance, and you stay in the top 10 when presumably 4 of the top 8 picks are going to be quarterbacks, so you still should be in a position to get a top 5 non-quarterback on your board.
I know that there was some talk, and I thought it was a lot of jackassery, about the Bears moving on from Fields and taking a quarterback at 1. Do you think that's the right decision in what they did in the last few days?
I think it was the right decision. I think that Fields more than showed enough to deserve some help, given what he showed with no help. And don't get it twisted. I mean, the Bears were the worst passing offense in the NFL by far, but they had a good to great 5 week stretch where they showed some really incredible potential, where they were averaging nearly 30 points per game, you know, dominated the Patriots on Monday Night Football, put up 29 against the Cowboys, like had a very inspiring stretch of play where it seemed like things were clicking. And then, you know, Fields was hurt and Mooney got hurt and Claypool got hurt and teams kind of adjusted to the Bears' adjustment. And, you know, the season did not end very well. But when you talk about a quarterback in Bryce Young who is small and a quarterback in C.J. Stroud who would just be the next Ohio State quarterback and Will Levis and Anthony Richardson with their questions coming out, there was no Joe Burrow or Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams level prospect. If that was the case, it would have been a much different conversation. But given that there was uncertainty at the top of the draft and given that you clearly could get so much for the number one overall pick and the Bears have so many holes, I think it was the obvious move on the chessboard.
And we're going to find out how far Fields could take him and how much success Fields could have, because like you said, not only you get Moore, who had 3 1,100-yard seasons with basically no one throwing him the football, but it moves down all these other guys like a Chase Claypool, who's a fine wide receiver, but isn't great in this league. And you got to put the guy in a position to succeed to see what you really have. Like, I think right now Fields could be a good quarterback, and we'll see how great he could be, but they're giving him a chance at least.
Yeah, exactly right. And if it goes belly up, you have 2 first-round picks next year, right? Like, if Fields is bad, the Bears are probably bad. And if the Bears are bad, they probably have a top-10 pick. And if you've got a top-10 pick and you have Carolina's pick, which Carolina, if they're starting a rookie quarterback, they could be bad. Or maybe the rookie quarterback's good and their defense is pretty good and the NFC South's pretty bad. And it's, late teens or the 20th pick. Well, if you got a top-10 pick and a top-20 pick, you could trade both of those and move into the top 5 and maybe select your quarterback next year if you wanted to. So I don't think that that's what their plan is, but I do think that's their insurance policy in case Justin Fields doesn't take the leap as a passer that they're expecting him to make in year 3 in the league, year 2 in Luke Getsy's offense.
What's kind of been the feel on now what they will do at 9? Could they trade back again, or do you expect them to take a player at 9?
I think everything's on the board. I think they could trade up. You know, depending on how it goes in free agency, and they did not add a three technique. They did not add anyone on the defensive line. They kind of surprisingly added two linebackers. You know, if Jalen Carter falls out of the top five, I could see the Bears being the team that selects him at nine or maybe even trades up a spot or two to get him, because the three technique is so important in Matt Eberflus's 4-3 defense. So I could see that being an option. I think they, you know, easily could take a tackle to support Justin Fields and continue to build around him, whether it's Karis Johnson or Peter Skoronski. I think that's on the board. So I think that the trade down to nine really opened up the level of possibilities. Could they trade down a few more spots to get even more draft capital? Absolutely. I think now there's much less urgency on what they need to do. But Ryan Poles did speak about blue players. That's how he grades them, in the top-tier guys, the blue chippers, if you will. He wants to be sure he comes out of this draft with one of those guys. So beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but I guess the question just remains, how many blue chip players does he see in this draft? If he feels like there's more than nine, he could trade down. Less than nine, he trades up. Nine exactly, he probably is standing pat.
Danny Parkins, I remember a few years ago when everyone said, oh, the Bengals should take an offensive lineman. They ended up taking Ja'Marr Chase. I know that they just traded for DJ Moore, and at the deadline they got Chase Claypool. In all these mock drafts, make it for what it's worth, we don't see a wide receiver going in the top 10. Could you actually see them taking the best wide receiver available?
That would surprise me now. Jackson Smith and Jigba has a relationship with Fields from Ohio State. The guys who came out of Ohio State, like Chris Olave, say he was the best of the bunch when it was him, Olave, and Garrett Wilson, even if he didn't produce that way this past year. Ryan Poles said, remember where I came from, which is Kansas City, and they kept adding weapons and weapons and weapons. So I don't think you can rule it out as a possibility. But when you trade a second-round pick, which ends up being the 32nd pick in the draft for Chase Claypool, and you trade the number one overall pick in part for DJ Moore, that would be a tremendous allocation of draft capital if you then use the top 10 pick on a receiver this year. I think it's on the board that they add a receiver at some point in the draft, and maybe with one of their four picks from the top 64. But with the ninth overall pick or wherever they end up drafting first in the first round, a wide receiver would be borderline shocking at this point, given the number of needs on the team.
Honestly, I guess the best thing that would be possible for the Bears would get a first-round pick by moving back a few spots this year. Like a few years ago when the Giants made that trade with them and you guys moved up to go get Fields, if they get another first-round pick and move back a few spots, I think it's kind of worth it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's in play. I floated today, would you trade the ninth pick to Houston for the 12th pick in Laremy Tunsil? Opportunity to sign Laremy Tunsil to a huge deal because you don't necessarily feel like there's a franchise left tackle out there. Like, I think the DJ Moore trade, again, was instructive in they need to spend money. They want to spend money on premium talent, and there might not be premium talent at marquee positions in free agency. So what's a way to do that? It's to trade for the guys who are already expensive. That's what they did with DJ Moore, even though his contract's very reasonable. But instead of paying Jacoby Myers in free agency, they traded for DJ Moore, and that's their wide receiver addition. So I think that could still be coming as well.
Danny Parkins, I got your thoughts on Justin Fields, but like the fan base, this has been a tortured fan base. They've never had a quarterback. Do they believe in Fields, or is it still like a little, skeptical just because of the nature of it?
You know, I always think it's tough when like the talk show host is like asked, like, you know, the fan base is not a monolith, right? Like there are some people that love him, some people that don't, but I would say the majority believe in Justin Fields. I mean, hell, he had the number one selling jersey in the state of Wisconsin last year, okay? Like, there's a lot of excitement. He's the most exciting offensive football I have seen in my lifetime watching the Bears. Now, I was born in 1986, so I missed, you know, the Walter Payton era of Bears football. Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, Devin Hester as a special teamer. Like, that's the list of exciting Bears in my lifetime for football in their hands. Justin Fields is clear-cut number one. I'm 36 years old. So the majority of Bears fans believe, the majority of Bears fans are excited. But to your point about how tortured the fan base is at the quarterback position, it's the only franchise in NFL history to never have a 4,000-yard passer. Not a 5,000-yard, a 4,000-yard passer. It's the only franchise in NFL history to never have a 30 touchdown passer. Not a 40, not a 50, 30 touchdown passes. So this is also a fan base that believed in Jay Cutler and Rex Grossman and Cade McNown and Mitch Trubisky. Like, we fall easily, we fall hard, because we frankly will fall for anybody. It's arguable that the best Bears quarterback of my lifetime has been Eric Kramer. So it's a fan base that will cling to any sign of hope, frankly, at the quarterback position.
I would think Danny Parkins at the new stadium, there's got to be a statue built for Lovie Smith.
You know, he certainly has the two biggest wins of the 21st century, the NFC Championship in 2006 to send him to the Super Bowl, where they ended up losing Peyton Manning, and then the Week 18 game where he pulled off the miraculous win to snatch the number one pick away from the Houston Texans, who were about to fire him and give it to his old team here in Chicago. So, yes, Lovie Smith's popularity. He was fired after a 10-win season, and 10-win seasons have been very hard to come by. So his popularity has grown already since leaving Chicago, but it might be at an all-time high since his departure right now.
Two more football questions, then we'll let you run. I filled in for you before with Filippone on First and Pods. Let me just get your thoughts about two other things around the NFL. Rodgers, is he going to the Jets, or are you a little looking at this right now and saying something fishy's going on that we haven't found out yet?
I think he's going to the Jets, and my most recent theory is that it's done and that they are keeping it under wraps for some sort of, like, technical reason, like that the Packers know it's happening, the Jets know it's happening, and they haven't necessarily, like, dotted an I or crossed the T, or, like, everything on the trade compensation hasn't been finalized, but, like, it's happening. Because why would he want to do this? Like, I know the idea that he wants, like, all of the limelight and he just loves the attention and all of that, but, like, okay, fine, you want to stick it to the Packers. I suppose I could get that. But why would you want to make it more difficult for your new team to operate in free agency? So I think that he's going to the Jets, and I think it's going to happen probably tomorrow, and certainly by Wednesday, the start of the league year.
And who do the Panthers take with the number one overall pick now?
I trust the gambling market. C.J. Stroud went from plus 160 to minus 300 basically within an hour of the move happening. Frank Reich likes big quarterbacks. So I think that, you know, no matter how much you know about sports, no matter how much I know about sports, the sharp gamblers know more than the two of us combined. So if the gamblers are saying it's Stroud, I think it's Stroud.
Danny, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
There you go. Danny Parkins joining us. You can check him out, Odyssey's podcast, First and Pod, and also on the free Odyssey app. On his afternoon show on 670 The Score, the legendary 670 The Score in Chicago. The Panthers, who have the number one overall pick, are continuing to keep some of their guys as well. Bradley Bozeman has been locked up now. He gets a three-year, $18 million deal. He was on a one-year deal a year ago. That is per Ian Rappaport. So Bears move back to 9. Panthers move up to 1. Bears get a whole lot of other compensation along with it. Good stuff right there with Danny Parkins. We'll take a break. When we come on back on the other side, we will get to a little Jimmy G to the Raiders and what it actually means.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You can think around the auto parts where your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I didn't see this earlier today, but I'm seeing it now. Josina Anderson is reporting that Lamar Jackson will play on the tag if a deal is not met by the deadline that's in July for players that are tagged to get a long-term deal done. Hickey, we've talked about this before for a while. I operated under the belief that Lamar Jackson will never sign a long-term deal with the Baltimore Ravens at this point. But my only point of hesitation was, is he going to leave Baltimore this year or next year? For the last, like, month, I would say that I thought he was going to get traded this offseason. Originally, I was operating under the belief that he'll play 1 year on the tag and then leave. I'm starting to think that that's probably what is going to happen, and going back to the initial thought, rather than what I've been saying for the last month. Because even though there will be a team or two or three that miss out on quarterbacks, and maybe they'll kick the tires on Lamar Jackson, there is an idea or a belief, and I know you could take it with a grain of salt, because I do think
no owner wants to see him get a fully guaranteed deal, because then it's back-to-back years of a fully guaranteed deal to a quarterback. And then it's like, if one happens, you could dance around it. If two happens, it makes it tougher and tougher for these teams to move around that. But the point I'm getting at is there is an idea out there that no team is going to offer him a contract because they believe that the Ravens would just simply match it. And it's like, all right, you're doing the Ravens' work for them instead of just having the Ravens and Lamar figure this thing out. I'm starting to get the sense that maybe no teams are actually going to pursue him. Or maybe when I say pursue, actually give him an offer. And that means it's either Lamar, you figure it out this year with the Ravens, or you play on a tag. It doesn't benefit him to sit out, because they could just then tag him again and you still have to wait another year before you would reach free agency. So if he is back in Baltimore next year, I do think it's on a tag. I don't think it's on a long-term deal. And then next offseason, you could tag him again. But if you don't get a deal done with Lamar next offseason, you have no choice but to trade him, because you can't run the risk of just letting a player that young, like this isn't Aaron Rodgers, where he's 38, 39. You're talking about a guy that's 26 years old and next year would be 27. You can't run the risk of just letting him walk for a compensatory third-round pick, another offseason for, or two offseasons from now.
Well, I think one of the things that this report does also, too, I think should quell any speculation or concern that Lamar Jackson was healthy enough to play and chose to sit out the end of the Ravens' regular season because he's worried about getting a contract and not want to get himself hurt. If you're willing to play next year on a tag, you're willing to possibly lose out on a lot of money.
Well, does it actually mean that? Like, explain why you think that way, because if he sits out next year, it's not as if he gets any closer to, like, not like he reaches free agency the next year and you save that year and then you're not hurt and then you get the big time deal. Like, he would have to sit out potentially 2 years in a row, or you would sit out and then just demand to trade after that.
It's all about injury risk, right? Isn't that what we're talking about? Like, it's with Lamar, again, if you are concerned, or the thought is that he's not going to play until he gets a full-time, long-term guaranteed deal, then why do you play in a one-year tag?
Because you still have to go back to the team the next year.
Well, he's been stubborn on what he wants, right? He's not budged yet so far.
I think it's different, though, to miss one game or two games down the stretch than it is to miss an entire season. You think there's actually a chance he would have sat out this entire season?
No, because I also don't think he would have. I don't think that's not his DNA. That's why I thought he was actually hurt, and I don't think he was, even when he was sitting out in January and December.
Okay.
I think he was actually hurt. I don't think he was actually sitting out for a contract. I'm just saying there's people out there that were questioning, is he actually hurt? I think just the report should put that all to bed, that not the case.
Yeah, you very rarely see players sit out an entire season, too. So if you want to say that it goes back to last year, I didn't think of it that way, but maybe you're right on that front as well. So that's just the latest with Lamar on something that they can't even talk to him. Teams can't even talk to him until Wednesday. But really, you talk about a story that has no legs right now. It's this Lamar Jackson situation, because we haven't heard any team even thinking or mulling over the idea of having a conversation with Lamar on Wednesday.
I think we've been talking about this for like the last week. I think you'll see it after the draft, because that's really now, especially after today, Jimmy Garoppolo off the market. Like, you've seen a few of the quarterbacks shuffle now. We presume Aaron Rodgers is going to be with the Jets, but if he's not, if he pulls an Aaron Rodgers and retires or goes for another team, you know, all of a sudden that changes calculus. But there are going to be teams that still need a quarterback that think maybe in the draft someone will fall, or see how things shake out. And then come draft time comes and goes, I think that's when you guys now start being more proactive and aggressive.
Also, I really do think the most teams would be interested would be next year, because, like, the most amount of teams, because then you are a year away from him reaching free agency. There is no urgency if you're the Ravens to want him to go sign a deal somewhere else. And you do get another year away from the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract. And, oh yeah, by the way, if he doesn't get a fully guaranteed deal this offseason, I don't think he's getting a fully guaranteed deal next offseason. Like, eventually there has to be a point here where Lamar gets the message, and maybe he has, maybe he hasn't, but we haven't heard anything publicly, that he's not getting the fully guaranteed deal. Exactly what you're going to say.
I mean, if he plays well next year, I think he's, wins a playoff game, I think that changes.
A fully guaranteed deal?
I think it changes, absolutely.
But what changes the stance of the owners from now until next year on the fully guaranteed part?
Recency bias. Last 2 years, he's missed the biggest games of the season. I get why you would not give Lamar Jackson a fully guaranteed deal. But if you're looking at he plays 17 games, Ravens get to the playoffs, he wins a playoff game, you're telling me that there's going to be owners sitting there saying, sorry, we're still sticking our stance here.
I don't think that's the best argument.
Even though we just saw we're not going to give him the fully guaranteed money.
I'll give you a better argument if you want to say Lamar wants to get a fully guaranteed deal. He may not get it this offseason, but guess who may soon get it? If Joe Burrow wants it, what are the Bengals going to do? Not give him a fully guaranteed deal? And then Lamar, a year from now, like even if he just plays fine this year, can say, well, I have unanimous MVP. Joe Burrow just got a fully guaranteed deal. Deshaun Watson just got a fully guaranteed deal. I'm deserving a fully guaranteed deal. I think another quarterback's going to have to get a fully guaranteed deal for Lamar to get a fully guaranteed deal.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's going to be out in Lamar's play more than anything else.
You're telling me if Burrow gets a fully guaranteed deal and they don't get a deal done, you don't think he's going to even make him ask for that more?
I could make him ask for more, but I think he's going to only get it by playing well. I don't think other owners care if Joe Burrow gets a fully guaranteed deal. Why do you care?
But for Lamar, that's what you're asking. You're comparing yourself to the other great quarterbacks where you think you're
Lamar's
in that conversation.
Asking for it no matter what. We're not talking about Lamar wanting it. We're talking about him getting it. So Lamar's going to want a fully guaranteed deal this offseason.
Yes.
He's going to want a fully guaranteed deal next offseason.
Yes.
What's going to change is how the owners view that deal. I think the owners' minds will change more if Lamar plays really well next year compared to if Joe Burrow gets one, for example.
The owners, though, do not want to give fully guaranteed deals. They don't want this to become an annual thing. So therefore, that's why Lamar, I believe, is not getting it right now. And therefore, if... let's say next year Joe Burrow gets one and Lamar gets through next year healthy, there's really no reason to not give him a fully guaranteed deal. I think he needs other dominoes to fall to get him that fully guaranteed deal, or you need the Jets to be as desperate could be if they swing and miss on Aaron Rodgers. Because just getting Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford won't be good enough if you're the Jets, and it'll be complicated with the money if you swing and miss on Aaron Rodgers after you let Jimmy Garoppolo go to the Raiders, you let Derek Carr go to the Saints. If Lamar's best friend right now should be Aaron Rodgers and hoping that Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay. Because if he is in New York, then I don't think there's going to be a team that's going to be desperate enough, even though they probably should. There's teams out there that should, but that will give Lamar Jackson a fully guaranteed deal. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Real quickly on Jimmy G. Jimmy G going to the Raiders, it's kind of underwhelming to me because you move on from Derek Carr, and I'm fine moving on from Derek Carr, but I think you needed a much bigger upgrade. And you could make the case that Jimmy G is at best a slightly better version of Derek Carr. Jimmy G's won a ton of games in this league, but with the Niners. The Raiders don't have the roster of the Niners. The Raiders have tremendous offensive pieces. Their line stinks, and they got no defense. So you could maybe say Jimmy G is a slightly better version of Derek Carr, and he's more consistent, let's just say, where Derek Carr is like more up and down. There's times he looks like he's a top 10 quarterback, and then he takes 4 or 5 steps back. But in reality, the biggest problem with Jimmy G is actually Derek Carr's biggest strength. Derek Carr stays healthy for the most part. Derek Carr plays in a lot of games. Derek Carr has really only dealt with one big injury. It seems like Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt every other year. And for the Raiders, when the pressure is on and you need to find a way to drastically improve this year, there's a chance Garoppolo gets injured week 3. And then you're screwed. Like, I don't love Jarrett Stidham, but a guy that started for you at the end of last season ended up becoming the backup quarterback today for the Denver Broncos. So I don't hate the Jimmy G move, but I'm never going to love any team that brings in Jimmy Garoppolo. And this move does seem underwhelming for the way in which Derek Carr was moved on from with this Raiders organization. And I do think there's another move coming with this, and Jimmy G probably won't like it, but tough luck, you got your money. You got to think either this year or next year, they're going to go get a quarterback in the draft. And then once again, it's Jimmy G being there, playing the mentor role and eventually handing the baton over just like it was in San Francisco. So that's how I kind of look at this Raiders move. But right now, like, if Jimmy Garoppolo gets an entire season healthy this year, knowing McDaniels helps, you know, he's a solid quarterback, really nothing more than that. Could they make the playoffs? Yes, but it's the farthest thing from a lock. Like, it's more likely they miss the playoffs than make the playoffs next year. Like, the Bills are better. The Dolphins, they have quarterback concerns. They're better. The Chiefs are better. The Chargers are better. The Bengals are better. If the Ravens have Lamar, they're better. The Jaguars are better. I already got to seven teams. I could probably give you a few more. So for Jimmy Garoppolo, you got a quarterback, but did you really get that much better? I don't think so. At best, you could argue you got slightly, very, 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 in a minuscule amount, slightly better. But that's all dependent on Jimmy G's health.